Yeah. Stay there.
KSQT Prunedale, 89.7 FM.
The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of Natural Bridges Media or KSQD's staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Ah, greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives, whether we want to or not. And remember, my friend, these future events will affect you. The future is in your hands.
Welcome to What a Week, KSQD's Listener's Digest of all the news from this last week that you really need to know. I'm Tony Russomano.
And I'm Eric Nelson, and have we got a show for you.
Now, you can't be well-informed unless you are informed well. And that's where What a Week comes in.
For the next hour, we're going to dive deep into what's been going on over the last 7 days, giving you a quick rundown of what's happening here in Santa Cruz and in the rest of the world.
And because sometimes you just want to get away from it all, we'll play you some music designed to soothe your soul and bring a smile to your face.
So turn up that radio, fire up that internet browser, and get ready for another edition of KSQD's What a Week.
This could be the greatest night of our lives, but you're gonna let it be the worst.
Oh, we're afraid to go with you, Pluto. We might get in trouble.
Well, just kiss my ass from now on! Not me! I'm not gonna take this! Warmer, he's a dead man! Marmalade, dead! Niedermeyer!
Dead! Pluto's right. Psychotic, but absolutely right. We gotta take these bastards. Now, we could fight them with conventional weapons. That could take years and cost millions of lives. No, in this case, I think we have to go all out. I think this situation absolutely requires a really futile and stupid gesture be done on somebody's part.
We're just the guys to do it.
Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. You'll either be a Union man or a thug for J.H. Blair. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? My daddy was a miner, and I'm a miner's son. He'll be with you, fellow workers, until this battle's won. Tell me, which side are you on? Which side are you on?
See it!
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Oh, workers, can you stand it? Tell me how you can. Will you be a lousy scab, or will you be a man? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on? Which side are you on? Come all of you good workers, good news to you I'll tell, of how the good old Union has come in here to dwell. Tell me, which side are you on?
So Wallace Bain, joining me in studio. Which Peter are you in favor of, Hegseth or Seeger?
Boy, that's an easy question there. Man, I can't imagine, Eric, when there has been a more appropriate time that the title of your show is right on. I mean, what a week.
Or a week that will live in infamy. When trying to get ready for the show, I sort of process what's going on and try to filter it down to some witty, snappy, and important talking points. And this week was, well, let's just say, a challenge. So we're going to throw out the entire format. Tony Russomanno is down in Santa Barbara for a friend's memorial. And in a way, this is a memorial for the America that was before Monday, which is sufficiently changed in the last week. And we're going to kind of bounce that, play with that week like a cat plays with a ball of yarn here, just to kind of talk through what we've experienced and what the nation has experienced and what we're about to experience, and lock and load and get ready. And as I think Animal House puts it, it's time for a stupid, futile gesture on somebody's part. And this week's What a Week is just that stupid, futile gesture on the part of all of you, dear listeners. So where to begin? Really, where to begin? Something came to mind, and that somebody said, if Donald Trump were the captain of the Titanic, he just said, attention all crew members, please, instead of join me in the first class lounge to celebrate all the liberals who are about to drown, which I think is an exact metaphor for what's going on, because things are in a... Well, again, I'll turn it over to you, Wallace. As I said before we went on the air, I will conform to your wishes. You've been in the, like everyone, you've been trying to sort out this last week of chaos.
Well, it's been the triumph of the politics of spite. I mean, that's really what this is. Spite, I think, is the sort of grounding principle of so much of what's going on. Let's get the other guy. Let's kick him in the teeth. And it's been dispiriting for ever since the election, really. And I think it's going to take us some time to figure out how to climb out of the rubble, but we just have to.
Well, we knew it was going to be shock and awe. They were absolutely clear what they were going to be doing upon day one. Remember the quotes, Trump would be a dictator on day one. Check that box. Mm-hmm. Shock and awe. Check Project 2025, where all the executive orders were drafted. So all the things that have happened were entirely predicted. And even the Harris campaign and the Democratic Party financing the campaign did a lot of ads about the perils of Project 2025. This is what they're going to do as soon as they take office. And guess what? They've put through exactly what they said. So if anyone out there is surprised, maybe that's a good thing, because that means you're not marinating in a lot of media and you've been sort of sleepwalking for the last 6 months. And I'm not saying that was necessarily a bad idea, but unfortunately reality has now caught up with us.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it really brings to mind, in my idea, a lot about the great crisis in my profession, in journalism. Ever since I first began as a journalist, I've always thought that one of our primary purposes was to sound the alarm, to bring in the hypotheticals, to warn people about what's coming. And, you know, in terms of so many different aspects of contemporary life, from climate change, I mean, we've been hearing the warning bells sounding for climate change for 20 years and or more. And for the erosion of democracy, we've been hearing that. And it feels like the warning bells have been ringing, and we have, as a country, disregarded it. And
well, true but not true. 75 million people voted for Harris. Okay?
Right.
Trump got 49% of the vote, 1.4% of the popular vote margin. 279,000 votes in seven swing states would have put Harris in the White House. And I'd say of the 75 million people who voted for Harris, a large percentage of them read the newspapers, knew it was coming down, and weren't caught sleepwalking. What's happening is the 49% who are listening either mainlining Fox News, Newsmax, and now X, either don't care or are nihilistic enough to want to just punish us Californians and liberals. That's certainly a large component. But I would say one of the key things we have to do is realize that not only are we not alone, we're statistically so very, very close. And most Americans agree with what we agree with if they have any, they're asked the right questions about it. So it isn't that the entire United States has lost its mind. Yeah, a certain percentage has. And I think they're irretrievable. But far many more people, you know, remember 37 million people didn't vote. So, right. You know, if those people right. had voted, right. you know, or is it 37%? But it's a huge percentage who didn't vote. So those hearts and minds are up for grabs. And it's a question of how we play those cards. And can you imagine an administration like, well, let's just kind of tick through Wallace what's been going on. So they terminated and sort of put the brakes on the National Institute of Health, which stopped all research into various forms of cancers, drugs, shut down the entire medical research establishment, stopped it cold. The needless to say, the environmental things speak for themselves. You know, they've handed the keys of watchdog monitoring to Elon Musk, who only is looking out for Elon Musk. Excuse me, the Nazis saluted Elon Musk. You know, all of these things, we're going to take Greenland. And I don't know if you've been watching. Have the price of eggs gone down this week?
Yes, they've gone down to zero because they're not available.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that the Ukraine war was going to be settled within 24 hours. Looks like that's not happening. So, you know, as bad as this is, it was entirely predictable. They actually said, at least we were stabbed in the front, right? They completely right. said what they were going
right,
to do.
Right.
And this is a flurry of executive orders. It's Trump who literally, with his instinct for a malign theater, props himself up at an arena in Washington and signs with that, you know, that illiterate Sharpie penmanship, all the executive right. orders, which were drafted by Stephen Miller, I think, who hangs upside down over a coffin filled with dirt during the daytime, drafted all of those things and just put them in front of him and he signed them because it looked good on television. Trump not only doesn't know what's in the executive orders, I doubt he could even read them because he's functionally illiterate. I mean, this isn't an exaggeration.
Right.
Later on in the show, I'll play you some excerpts from yesterday in Pacific Palisades with him holding forth. And you tell me if this guy actually is a threat. It's the people standing behind Trump who are just licking their chops in anticipation for what he was going to do.
Right. Well, you know, going back to what you said about the people who voted for Harris, what did you say, 75 million, is that right?
Yeah.
Obviously, that's true, and that's significant, but the fact is we lost the critical mass of Americans, and I think the Democratic Party is back on its heels because it has been promoting democracy for all these recent years, and all of a sudden democracy happened, the other guy got more votes than they did. And so,
that's, you know, a bug, not a feature. I mean, the Dem, you know, is incompetent and as ignoring all of the vital signs, looking at you, Biden, not standing down like you promised,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. It's incredible how close Harris came. And the problem is the Democratic Party can be fixed if they have the will to do it. And they don't have the will right now. And that's the thing that drives me crazy. Spending bandwidth talking about how terrible Trump is, as fun as it is, and shooting the proverbial fish in the barrel, or how idiotic and ultimately counterproductive all of these executive orders is fine, but it's what are we going to do about it?
You know, the Democratic Party's vulnerability is actually good news, Eric, I think, because let's take lessons that might be useful from the rise of Trump. Trump saw that the Republican Party was weak, and he used his superpowers of denial and lying and, you know, kind of pushing the buttons of his extreme to absolutely overtake the Republican Party.
Well, always appropriate to get an obscure golf metaphor. When Jack Nicholson saw Tiger Woods play at Tiger's prime, he said to
Jack
somebody,
Nicholas.
Nicholas. Nicholson. I like Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholas, thanks for the correction. Shows what a sports fan I am. But his comment about Tiger's Woods, is, said, he is playing a game of which I am not familiar, which meant that Woods played an entirely different game that Nicholas could not understand.
Right.
And what Trump intuitively did, aligned with Fox Media, is he played an entirely different game, catering to the low information voter, catering to the fragmentation of the news media. And it didn't matter what he did, because he was perceived, not wrongly, as authentic. He is the authentic item. He basically said, here's who I am, this is what I'm going to do, yeah, I'm losing my mind, and yeah, look at the length of Arnold Palmer's schlong to get back into golf. But he played the game he played totally authentically, and people looked at that, and then they looked at Harris's talking points and using the phrase or PowerPoint phrases about, we're here for the middle class, using that abstraction, which made me nuts during the campaign. You know, they played a different game, and yes, without any doubt, the Democrats should have seen this coming.
But the first castle he stormed was the Republican Party. He recognized
how
weak.
But he played a different game than everyone was playing.
Right,
he made fun of Lil Marco, and he basically used his chops honed by The Apprentice and wrestling, and just played an entirely different game that the Jeb Bushes and the other politicians didn't do. That's his superpower. Is he doesn't care and he's playing a different game.
Right, right. So the Democratic Party has its own Jeb Bushes still kind of running the show.
But their time is done. I mean, the good
their
news...
Their time is done, but you need to have that figure, that sort of energy come in and say, you know, we are doing things differently, and just kind of bulldoze its way into the Democratic Party the same way Trump did to the Republican
Party. Well, first
Party.
Off, it's like, goodbye, Chuck Schumer. Hello, AOC. Good point. You know, AOC's comment on when Elon Musk gave the Nazi salute, not once but twice, totally like his inner voice came out there on stage. You know, there was a lot of, well, you know, he didn't. It was a gesture, an open-hearted gesture. Yeah, an open-hearted gesture is a stiff-armed salute when you're grimacing, if you look at the picture. AOC's tweet was, I will fight the Nazis until I'm 6 feet underground. Full stop.
There you go.
Why that. Keith Olbermann suggested, and I agree wholeheartedly with Olbermann, you know, on Monday, Schumer should bring articles of impeachment on the Senate floor. Right now. Just say, even if we lose, he is now an impeached. He is violating the Constitution. We're going to put him up for impeachment. It's fine to lose. But what's happening right now is, well, you know, perhaps bipartisanship. And if we kind of give him what he wants, maybe he won't hit us so hard next time. You know, it's absolutely mind-boggling, the opportunities and the low-hanging fruit that the Democrats have. Because Americans, even the low-information voter, deep down kind of know or are a little uneasy about all this. The smart ones, I like to think of you and I and our listeners include that in the thing, obviously know with screaming red neon lights how wrong and idiotic and counterproductive this is. But the fact that there's no one we can point to on air except for AOC and look deep into some tweets that someone might have said to say this, this, and this, it's appalling.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys in the press, again, I'm here just if you're tuning in, Wallace Bain is not Tony Russomanno, but Wallace Bain is, now I can say it, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. How about that? Writing for Lookout, which when we'll get to it later as I do my obligatory and entirely sincere why I love Lookout and how Lookout, if not the future of all journalism, is certainly a very positive step in the right direction for all humanity. Is that, am I pulling my punches too much?
All humanity, yes, I like that.
Yeah.
All galactic life forms.
Works for me. But, you know, the interesting thing, though, that I found, Wallace, you were with me. I did a film on John Lennon hosting the Mike Douglas show, and Jerry Rubin was a guest on that show. And I've been thinking over and over, and it really comes to mind. If you had told Jerry Rubin on the Mike Douglas Show in 1972 that the president in 2025 was going to gut the FBI and turn the Hoover Building into a museum, was going to gut the CIA and was said he was going to release all the files about JFK and RFK's assassination, was going to gut the Pentagon, fire all the senior generals with no cause, and the new Secretary of Defense is so drunk he probably could levitate the Pentagon, at least in his own office. And remember who they ran for president? Pig ISIS? We did elect a pig for president. So in essence, Trump has fulfilled the Yippie Manifesto. So on one hand, to know that we're truly living in the upside. Am I missing any of those four
what
points?
What goes around comes around,
what,
yep.
What goes around comes around. and the thing is, though, that, Paul Rudnick, and I'm just sort of jumping here, but these are just great quotes that I've picked up. Paul Rudnick, who's the last man standing on X, wrote, "Trump's basically spewing everything a retired, senile, racist grandpa would scream at the TV, which he thinks isn't working because of dirty hippies. The problem is that Trump's escaped from the home and is now running down the street naked." And if you kind of observe what he's just like, and this is where, by the way, the media is totally doing a disservice, why they're just not running like the thing he did in the Palisades. Well, let me give, let's play this. He went to the Palisades, did not invite Gavin Newsom yesterday, flew in with Air Force, with a very constricted, unhappy-looking Melania. I guess in the prenup, she had to do one trip. Maybe she thought she'd pick up another rich guy in the Palisades, but she was with him. But remember the last time the forest fires hit when he and Newsom did the thing and he was on and on about...
Break up these leaves, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, here's what he was yesterday. So remember, that was like 7 years ago and was utterly debunked by everyone in the universe. So this is the stable genius yesterday.
"And California must adopt the common sense policies to prevent fires. And we all know that, we were talking 7 or 8 years ago, I was talking to... people from Austria, people from Finland, people that live in forests. One of the gentlemen, one of the top great leaders of Austria said, we don't have forest fires, and we have trees that are actually far more flammable than they have in California. But they literally rake their forest. They take down, if a tree comes down, they take it down. They say you have 18 months. After that, it's like a matchstick. And I know environmentally, some environmental groups like the trees to just melt into the ground. But when they do melt into the ground, they become an inferno. So I think you're going to have to change your ways in terms of that. You have 30 years of leaves, and those leaves are dry as a bone, and they burn. You know, interestingly, because I was at Paradise.
Well, I grew up in Pacific Palisades, and let me tell you, there aren't forests in Pacific Palisades. There was a lot of other things that have been obliterated. But again, that utter incoherent, and he hasn't learned anything. So this is the forest thing. Somebody probably said it on the back nine, 8 years ago. It's stuck in whatever cobwebs of his diseased mind, and he keeps spouting it out. So their front man basically is falling apart. And I'm not saying that's going to make any difference in the short term. But hero, though, let's look for a hero. So there was one of our congressmen, Brad Sherman, was in the audience. So to get the background, folks, he did the disaster tour. He flew to Asheville, where he started to talk about getting rid of FEMA because, of course, and I swear to God he said it, Franklin Graham's Samaritans group in North Carolina should get all the money and let Franklin Graham, the reactionary white-wing Christian son of Billy, let him disburse the money. That was his brilliant idea. And then, of course, the threats that he's going to cut off California, right, entirely from everything. So at this gathering, there was a Fire Station 69. I drove by it a lot where Trump was doing the press op there. Sherman got in there, and this is what Sherman said to the emperor as he, for the 8 millionth time, pointed out that no clothes.
"And I know you've talked about policies of California that you're not a fan of, but I've been in Congress for 28 years. I really disagree with Louisiana on their abortion policy. I disagree with them on their campaign finance policy. I disagree with North Dakota on their gun policy. And I would never turn to somebody from Louisiana and say, you keep living on your cousin's couch, because we're not going to help you rebuild until Louisiana agrees with me on a woman's right to choose. So I'm hoping that we can get these funds and that we don't punish individuals for the policies of their state. You can disagree with them, and I think you've got some ideas. I look forward to us listening. Also, on tariffs, I often agree with you on tariffs, but how about...
So, said that too, and then at the end, when Trump's wrapping up...
But you essentially already have your permits. You can just go and go wild. Brad, as soon as you can get those permits, whatever you can do, if you can put that genius of yours to work on getting a permit, you'll be doing much better than some of the other things you've said, okay? And but we do appreciate you. So, Mayor, could I just leave you with that? It's a big permitting deal. We're going to be back, and I'm going to put Rick in charge of just representing me for a period of time until we figure out exactly who we want to do it, whether we want a commission or an individual. You know, if you have a good individual.
Now, I haven't seen this reported, but I think the Rick he's referring to is Rick Caruso, who ran against Karen Bass for mayor. I'm pretty sure, again, don't take my word for it on what a week on anything, but I think he did exactly, which I hate to say it, I predicted, is Rick Caruso, who had his private firefighters fight the fire in the Palisades. And it was Rick Caruso whose little village survived because of his private firefighters. And that's, I think, the Rick. So he's basically setting Caruso up as the conduit of aid to Pacific Palisades. So that's where I think the Rick he's referring to. I just picked this up. I just got this yesterday. But, I mean, really, folks? But that's the guy. And by the way, Brad Sherman, ladies and gentlemen, he actually spoke to power like the bishop did, who now is receiving death threats after death threats from, wait for it, the Proud Boys who Trump put on the street in the pardons, which private militia and brown shirts. They're already coming after the bishop, and I'm sure Brad Sherman's going to be hearing about it.
I still think it's kind of a mistake, going back to the Brad Sherman quote, where, you know, he says, Mr. President, I would hope you would not withhold aid and disaster relief from a state because you disagree with their policies. There still is a critical mass of Americans that would shrug at that and go, yeah, sure, why not? So I really think we're making a mistake on zeroing in on the content of what Trump says and more the style, and maybe for the left to adopt that style a little bit of knocking doors down and, you know, getting right in there and bulldozing.
Well, the problem, though, you're right, you know, but we could have it both ways, too. We can knock his words and his style and everything.
Yeah.
But when people went door to door knocking in Pennsylvania to bring out those last votes, or, you know, a lot of people we know in Santa Cruz who went to Nevada, people just slammed the doors in their faces, and we lost both states. So
yeah.
I think it's kind of all of the above. But the thing I think we have to remember is the reality is on our side, right? You know, what America accomplished in the second half of the 20th century with civil rights, with growing awareness of environmental issues, with the Richard Nixon, God bless him, the EPA that was set up, women's right to choose. These things are under siege, but they've been established, and it ain't rolling back. People are used to it, and it's not going back. And the reality of climate change, okay, let Trump win a Category 6 hurricane hits Mar-a-Lago this summer. Could happen. You know,
right.
He's not going to be able to blame that on Biden. And if he's...
Yes, he will. He'll find a way.
But the point is, though, the reality of it, though, of course, I mean, Trump is a broken record. He has one act, but the act has already worn thin, and the wheels are coming off. There's going to be the hardcore or irretrievable, right? But we're not talking about them. We're not talking about, you know, I believe there's a much larger group of people who just want all this to go away, want to see, you know, basic needs taken care of, want to see that they're seen, and the Democratic Party did not do a great job of making a lot of Americans feel seen by referring to them as the middle class in these sort of DNC talking points, which they did obsessively. I mean, the margins aren't that great. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, but it's, you know, it's simultaneously nuance and bold chopping motion, I think, is called for.
Well, it also brings into our conversation the media environment.
Yes.
We're talking about, I mean, you saw that picture of what was it, Bezos and Zuckerberg and Musk.
Hello, what, hello, hello.
Like
hello.
In the front row there, you know, with the family. And AOC even kind of pointed to it. She called this a billionaire's feeding frenzy. And of course, Musk runs X. Zuckerberg runs Facebook and Instagram. These are the new mainstream media. And the legacy media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, all that kind of stuff, the tide is going out on that.
Well, the tide's gone out. The Washington Post is done.
Right.
You know, done. Bezos was in town to be photographed.
Of course.
He had lunch. He had a lunch with Will Lewis, Rupert Murdoch's former lieutenant. Did not listen to the 400 journalists who said, for in the name of God, Jeff, can you please come to our newsroom and boost our morale? He made a very pointed thing. I'm not going. So to me and my predictions of what right. might happen, he'll probably right. sell the Post to Elon Musk. That's what I bet he does, something like that.
Is right.
So
right.
Post is done. The New York Times, I've been railing about this for years on What a Week, but they're doing what they can as long as you're careful and you read the New York Times. They had a great Democrats in disarray story, front page, top of the fold, very top all day yesterday about Democrats reeling from the Trump onslaught. And of course, not one, no quotes from AOC, no quotes from Elizabeth Warren, no quotes from any of the Democrats that are actually speaking up boldly about plans to the future. It was all hand-wringing quotes from the Fettermans and the sort of, well, you know, and we just need to move to the center because that's what America really wants. But that's the New York Times. So it's basically an editorial in the guise of a news article that's basically algorithmically calculated to get you to click on it and people like me to get upset about it, I guess.
My point is the New York Times is ceasing to matter. And I think you're right. The Washington Post has ceased to matter.
Lookout's the only one left standing. And what a week. I think it's all up to us, Wallace.
I mean, here we are kind of retreating to blue sky. I mean, it's...
But let's talk about retreating to blue sky, though, because, you know, I got some stats on blue sky. I just happen to have some stats in front of me. And it's not retreating. Again, that's framing. I don't think that's a correct frame on blue sky, because I would look at blue sky as saying...
Well, there's a lot of Twitter refugees coming in, you know. I mean,
well,
it's,
total users of Blue Sky are some facts for you.
It's a sanctuary city.
but no, 29 million total users around the world, and it's growing every day as of yesterday because I checked. 3.5 million daily users now in the United States. Fox News, the enemy, you know, the outlet we don't want, their average audience is 1.32 million per show. So when it comes to a news source that's actually reaching the smart, motivated people, Blue Sky's actually working. And if you know to read Blue Sky, and I've been, you know, this is a good time to say if you're listening to What a Week and you haven't subscribed to Blue Sky, it takes about 2 seconds to make an account. And if you want to get a jump start, once you join, just type in the letters WAW space KSQD, and then you'll see What a Week. And then right at the top is a big blue thing that says Fellow Travelers. You click on that. And then you click on follow all, and all of a sudden, you have 100 new sources coming in from very, very, very smart people. And you can use or lose, but you're automatically plugged into an incredible news stream. And it's a nutrient bath, and it informs you. And Wallace, let's talk about that. You know, this is the personal versus the mass. It's personally, because it's a one-to-one thing. Like, how are you getting through with this? You know, how... What do we say to people who just want to get through the day and sleep through the night and need to wake up in the morning and fight or at least live productive lives? Like, what are your thoughts and recommendations for people?
Well, the media diet is a big, big part of it because I, like a lot of people, you know, depended on the New York Times, the Atlantic, the New Yorker. I mean, this is the
Atlantic and New Yorker are still good, and the New York Times in parts are okay.
It doesn't matter if they're good if no one's reading them. I mean,
but the point is that the average Fox, you never read the Atlantic or the New Yorker. You know, we can't expect that low information people are marginally illiterate. What is it? 25% of Americans actually read a book a year and the other 75% don't. They're not going to read thoughtful op-eds in the Atlantic. They never did.
Right, but their vote is the same as your vote. I mean...
But then that's true, but at least we each of us can cancel one of them out.
Right, right.
But I think education isn't the right thing. It's getting doubling back to what are the Democrats, what does a viable American opposition party, how do Avengers reassemble to articulate and take this out and let the press follow, right? We can't look to the press to lead, right? Not going to happen.
Right, right. But, you know, in my particular media diet, all of a sudden, I feel betrayed. I feel like, you know, I've been going along with these narratives and these ideas in this media environment, and it's delivered us to this. And so there has to be some sort of new media.
Well, I think, but...
And maybe blue sky is
well, but, you know, it reminds me when FM radio, and was, by the way, KSQD Santa Cruz, KSQT Prunedale, FM. How about that? Of course, organic way to make the FCC happy. Hope they're not listening too closely to the show. When FM radio died, remember where everyone thought it's over, you know, it was clear channel rule, that was it. And then what kind of came up all of a sudden, as evil as it is, Spotify, all sorts of other ways of getting music that you could pretty much pick your own music, program your own stuff, subscribe to feeds, listen to interesting people holding forth for 4 hours, disc jockeys, a whole new form of communication established just when people thought radio was done. It got reinvented. And I'm not saying blue sky's the future, but it's certainly a great foothold and reasons to be cheerful. It worked. You know, it's working. And it's expanding, and at least it's, as I said earlier, a nutrient bath where smart people can go. Paul Krugman's a case in point, the guy who Obama should have picked. I knew Obama was toast in 2009, after his inauguration, when he picked Geithner instead of Krugman.
Of course.
Krugman had been all over Bush, just relentlessly telling the truth against Iraq in the front page, you know, the editorial section of the New York Times, Nobel-winning economic, and what does Obama do? He puts Geithner in. And I knew right then, you know, it was over for Obama. I swear to God, Wallace, because it was so the wrong choice, and we could have gone for it. But anyway, Krugman, who was the best, you know, fantastic writer, quit, gone. And he finally, this week, because we do talk about what a week said, it was because they were censoring my editorials. They were rewriting me 3 or 4 times, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And he, but, he's now on Substack, accessible through Blue Sky. You can just click on his stuff, Unfettered Krugman. And in a week, he got 100,000 followers. It's not the New York Times' million, but keep an eye on him. So what I'm saying is the flowers come through the concrete if you know where to look for them. And they want us to have despair now, you know?
Of course. Of course. They do. But I think of 2017, remember, when Trump won the first time and resistance kind of came the day of the inauguration, you know, the pink pussy hats everywhere, the Women's March. I myself even put together a rally that winter at the Rio Theater. And, you know,
and look, Trump lost in 2020, direct line to that rally. At the
that's
Rio,
true.
Wallace,
but that's not happening now.
We're not having pink pussy campaigns because we went through it the last time. Right. So there is this thing people, and to be honest with you, it wasn't terribly effective in 2017. It was therapy and it was cathartic and people felt like it was, they were doing something, but at the end of the day, the game was rigged and Trump would have won in 2020 had it not been for COVID.
But we need more than therapy and catharsis now. We need effective political activism. I don't think anybody knows how to deliver that. And I think it might take a few more punches in the face from this administration for the resistance to kind of take hold. I think it might. I think we might see a resistance that we're not even prepared for. I mean, it's hard to talk about the R word, revolution, because...
Well, Trump's a transitional president for sure. You know, the whatever comes in 2028, whenever the next election, 2028, it's going to be a transition. It's either one way, and it's a very dark way, or it's going to be, I think, a populist revolution. There can't be the day of the middle of the Pelosi Democrats are over. They're dying, or they've either died off or are dying off. the...
We need somebody to push them out, really, right now.
But reality will push them out, is what I'm saying, because sooner or later, politics is politics. It's a ground game, you know, and it's who's going to emerge, how reality is going to chip away at the current administration. Because remember, they're running against reality. At the end of the day, this is... I've always viewed it as we Wallace were the atonement generation, and as elderly white guys, we were definitely in the line of fire. We had a really good ride there for a long time.
Right.
Entitled, you know, we're not speaking for ourselves here, but the world kind of broke our way, and all of a sudden, in the last 10 years, the world wasn't breaking our way anymore, and it was up to us to make it up. Right, you know, people got jobs. Women got jobs that we could have had, diversity hires. Wait a minute, my documentary didn't get into Sundance, true story. And at the time, I'm like, yeah, well, that's what goes around comes around. And I was able to say, well, I'm part of the atonement generation. I'm suffering for the sins of my Caucasian forefathers. Just get over it, grow
suck
a pair.
Suck it up, right.
Suck it up. But unfortunately, a large amount of uneducated white guys. Rogan crowd, the
who
UFC
don't know
crowd,
anything.
Don't
right?
know anything, whose information has been steadily denied them. You know, thought that this was going to work, and he heard them. And even though he doesn't hear them.
Because they're responding to style. They're responding to the, you know, professional
Bingo.
Wrestling kind of...
The wrestling dynamic, the UFC, yeah. You know. So, and it's no coincidence that Dana White, Trump's, you know, mentor, who spawned Joe Rogan and Zuckerberg put on the board of Facebook. I mean, that's the thing I wonder with those guys, though, is like, I don't know... It can't just be that they're cowards, they're moral cowards, and that they really think that kissing Trump's ass by attending the inauguration is going to work. I mean, they really think that Trump won't turn on them like on a heartbeat like he has on every single person ever who's ever come within his orbit. They really think that that's going to work or that's good for business. It's
right.
Either they're privy to some secret plan that I'm unaware of, or they really are just dumb white guys who are unbelievably lucky. You know, I think I know which, in my opinion, which it is.
Or dogs in the wild, you know, they bow to the alpha male and just kind of go in a pack, you know. You mentioned Fetterman earlier. I remember, I don't know, what was it, 6 or 7 years ago, I got suckered into believing Fetterman was a...
I thought, yeah, Big Bad John. I thought he was the future.
He was the guy,
he
right?
He was the guy.
Because, back then, he was talking about economics, right? And I don't know what's happened to him. I mean, he's...
The stroke didn't help.
No. But that...
And I think he is opportunistic. I think he's also of the soil. I mean, he comes out of that environment in Pennsylvania. So he sees things granularly, which we don't see. And before the election, he was writing, saying, we're missing it here, folks. We're missing it. He saw it coming. And I think he had anticipatory nervousness about it, and he doesn't like the fact that he was proven right. So he's going through a crisis of the soul, but ultimately, and by the way, he voted for the dog killer, Kristi Noem. 8 Democrats voted to advance her nomination. Kristi Noem,
right.
AKA the dog killer, for the Department of Homeland Security. So the idea that 8 Democrats are voting for any single one of Republican nominees, including Marco Rubio, who they all voted for, is somewhat shocking to me. I mean, it's like, really? Really? Marco Rubio, who's on board with... Did you know, speaking of us, and this, again, I wonder why this isn't being reported. The Guardian's got it, by the way, if you want a news source, The Guardian UK. Trump got on the phone with the Danish prime minister. Did you see Borgen, by the way? Great show, Borgen.
No.
But the woman prime minister of Denmark, a 45-minute call that the Danes listening, you know, they actually have people on the phone, referred to as horrendous, where he called and browbeat her about Greenland. And it's utterly freaked the Danes out, completely. And it's almost like Trump has a bingo card for fascism. It's like, well, we got to crush internal dissent, but I also have to conquer other countries. You know, I can't be a full-on card-carrying fascist if I don't do the insane trying to conquer foreign. But literally, imagine the shame of that. But here's the thing that's frightening. This was not reported. It's still not hit. As of this morning, it has not been reported in the New York Times, Washington Post. And it's like, they have the story. It's like, the, you know, the people on the phone call with the Danish prime minister used the word horrendous, that the president of the United States threatened Denmark to get Greenland. And that's not being reported. It's all your fault. Well, you know, you got to return back your Pulitzer here, I think. There's just no other choice here.
Oh, my gosh. It's like there's a great screenwriter in the sky, right, who is writing these things. I mean.
Well, why don't we take a quick musical break? Because, you know, okay. there are bright sides here. Garth Hudson of the band, the last surviving member of the band, passed away. So yeah. In honor of Garth, we're not playing the traditional expected Garth song, but I think we need a little musical break here to reset. And when we come back, let's talk about reasons to be cheerful and what we can do, you know, personally, not. I don't know if you and I, in the course of an hour, can change the entire future of American politics, but maybe we can offer some tips to make our fellow Santa Cruzians feel better. What do you think?
Okay.
Comet, I was hurled. Oh, living in another world.
great Garth Hudson, the guy who was, his parents let him join the band because Garth said, I'm their music teacher. And they said, okay, it's okay then, Garth, if you can join up with that band of ruffians. So Wallace, let's turn the thing to, you know, what is it, act globally, think locally, or some such thing. What do we do to just feel better, to get through the next day? Shock and awe, folks, didn't work. If you're listening to the show, you're still standing, you're still calibrating. All the crap that was thrown at us, the cruelty is the point agenda, it didn't work. We're still here. So now Let's keep going.
I think it's important to try to get a perspective on the TV show part of this, how this is all theater and how it's so easy to kind of sit back and look at it as an audience member might, whether you approve of it or not. And because I think there might be, and we might see this in the coming months, we might hear locally have to face things like ICE agents in our community. And I think a really good way to sort of prepare yourself is to talk to yourself about, what am I going to do if there's ICE agents in our community? How am I going to contribute to protecting the vulnerable? Am I going to do that or not? Because I think those kinds of things are real possibilities. A lot of this has us back on our heels because, you know, we haven't kind of gamed out where it might be going. These are rough times, but you know what, Eric? They could get rougher, right?
Yeah. Well, Santa Cruz is in the eye of the storm. If Gauleiter Miller is definitely eyeing us, if he doesn't,
right.
He should be, and fortunately I don't think Gauleiter Miller. This is daytime, so as I said, he's suspended upside down over a bed of Transylvanian yes. earth in some basement of the White House. But when he comes to, so he missed us. Well, the other thing, too, just on a make yourself feel better, you know, things to do, and I did this. This is a true story, Wallace. On Inauguration Day, I resubscribed to Lookout. I put the big gulp.
All right.
And it works out, folks. If you subscribe to Lookout, it's $3 a week to support local journalism and the antenna of Santa Cruz. $3 a week, and you get a little change back from that. I think that's well worth it. And by the way, you should make $3 a week rather than the total on your application. It's a little less daunting.
Yeah,
just a tip there. But $3 a week. You know, you pissed off at Bezos? Cancel Amazon Prime, okay? That's just free money to him for free shipping. You're supporting a corrupt ecosystem. Anything you think you should buy on Amazon, how about this? Buy it locally. And I hate to say it, Whole Foods, and I hate to say it to the folks working at Whole Foods, but don't shop there. Bezos owns it. Go across the street to Staff of Life. You know, for God's sakes, don't buy a Tesla. And if you see a Cybertruck, laugh and point at it. Don't shake your fist. Laugh and point at it. Because anyone driving a Cybertruck, I hate to generalize here, well, there's some manhood issues going on there. That's all I can say. Never buy anything through Facebook. Never click through anything on Facebook, ever. Don't click through an ad. Don't ever monetize Facebook. If you have to stay on it, don't monetize it. Do not click on anything that isn't a post of a friend. Just don't do it. Ideally, just quit the whole thing. You know, simple things, but, you know, boycott Target, who just came out on DEI, and shop at Costco. And then when you go to Costco, tell the check-in, you know, the person checking you out, you're here and you bought more stuff because of their DEI policy. Please pass it on to management. I know these all sound and are trivial, but they'll make you feel better.
Right.
You know, and feeling better at this point when you've got an entire administration bent on demoralizing you and freaking you out, and this corpulent madman flailing around, you know. I guess all we have to do, by the way, for water is open up the giant spigot to let all that billions of gallons of Northern California water from Loch Lomond. So my suggestion is, by the way, we should like create a prop golden spigot up in Loch Lomond, get Trump out here and say, look, turn the spigot and the water will be flowing from Northern California, and make it a media event, right? You know, he'll go for it. I don't think he has any critical facilities. So see, there's lots of ways we can make things going. But I think the Loch Lomond golden spigot to let the water flow to the south plan, just don't let him find out about it.
I mentioned media diet also. That's one thing that you can sort of reassess and think about. the 24/7 relentlessness of this stuff can do a number on your mental
Kick
health.
Kick the habit. Turn off CNN. Definitely turn off CNN. MSNBC.
Forever. Right?
MSNBC exists only to rile you. That's where their ad dollars
right,
come, and they're
exactly.
going to be tainted. The thing about a blue sky feed is you have choice. You know, I'm addicted to scrolling, I admit. You know, I doom scroll all day, but at least I'm doom scrolling interesting stuff, and I have a radio show to prepare for every week.
Right.
But at least you're in a, quote, nutrient bath of good information. And if you don't like the information, it's 140 characters, move on.
And it's not an either-or dynamic of I'm going to either not be informed or I've got to just kind of dive into this 24/7 cycle. You don't have to. I mean, you can maintain your sanity if you maybe have some discipline about how much you read, listen to, and your sources. You know, going back to Lookout, I think a lot of the, and I've said this before, perhaps even to you on this show, is a lot of the crisis that we're in now is due to local news sources dying off.
Absolutely.
And people in rural, suburban areas not having a way to connect to their communities. So what fills that need? Social media and you know, the Trump show, right? That has rushed in to fill that vacuum. So finding a way to reconnect to your local media. It doesn't have to be Lookout, but
Santa Cruz Local's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And as long as Shmuel Fowler is at the Sentinel, you know, the last man standing.
Of course.
You know,
yes.
It's worth, and check out his Facebook feed. I'll authorize that when he just puts his, here's the pictures I took at the parade. You know, that
and to realize there are communities across America who do not have that. And they have the only connection with the outside world is Facebook and NBC.
Right.
And, you know, all these other kind of toxic environments now. And
well, we're lucky, you know, we got to wrap this up here, but we're lucky to live in the People's Republic of Santa Cruz. We're very lucky to have Lookout, Pulitzer Prize winning Lookout. I can't say that enough. Yes, KSQD, community radio station, that when the going gets tough, we get tougher, and rest assured we're going to be there through all of this, and we'll maintain it through our course and cross collaborations. You know, as I said earlier, you know, they tried everything. They threw everything they had at us. It was shock and awe, or shock and awful would be more like it. We're still standing. I'm still standing. You're still standing. Henry Kaiser is sitting out there waiting to go into the backwards guitar show. I'm doing a show on backwards guitar in a couple of minutes. 2 hours on psychedelic backwards guitar. It's hardly relevant, but you know what? It's entirely relevant, Wallace.
It is entirely. Yeah, in fact, that might be the best thing you can do is pursue your passions undaunted, right? Just find what makes you light up and go for it.
Well, leave you with a song. This is a request from one Wallace Bain. He said, well, what version do you want to use? And I went through, rummaged through my music archives.
Let me say just something real quick about
please.
This song. This is a song I've been thinking about since the election because it was written, I don't know, 50 years ago. But the way the lyrics land on me really spoke to a sense of isolation and, you know, loss after the election, and it is one of the greatest of the contemporary pop songs in America.
Thank you, Wallace. Yeah, you're listening to KSQT Santa Cruz, KSQT Prunedale. Subscribe to Lookout, $3 a week. Keep listening to KSQD, and in a few minutes, backwards guitar, a psycho delectable 2 hours with Henry Kaiser.
Many's the time I've been mistaken, many times confused. Yes, and I've often felt forsaken and certainly misused. Oh, but I'm all right, I'm all right, just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant.
so far away from home, so far away from home. I don't know a soul who's not been battered, don't have a friend who feels at ease. I don't know a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. Oh, but it's all right, it's all right, for we've lived so well so long. Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong. And I dreamed I was dying. I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly, looking back down at me, smiled reassuredly. I dreamed I was flying high up above. My eyes could clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away to sea. I dreamed I was flying. But we come on the ship they call the Mayflower. We come on the ship that sails the moon. We come in the age's most uncertain hours and sing an American tune. Oh, but it's all right, it's all right, can't be forever blessed. Still, tomorrow's gonna be another working day, and I'm trying to get some rest. That's all, I'm trying to get some rest.